Good morning and a very warm welcome to you from a distinctly chilly building here at Romford Baptist Church. My name is Vicky. I am one of the ministers here who is taking the service this morning, and I'm going to be joined by Ian during the course of the service as we share today's service where we give praise and honour to God this morning. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I don't know if you're feeling a bit like the weather this morning, slightly fed up, kind of a bit gloomy. We're a bit uncertain and fearful about the future, and we're not quite sure how it's going to work out. But do you know what? We have these amazing words from 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And you know, we've got those wonderful words to hang on to today. He is with us. We will and are made strong and firm and steadfast because of him. And we're going to reflect that in the new series that's starting this morning about restoration that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But also, we are reminded simply, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. That's who we can come and praise God this morning. That's why we're here. Wherever we may be, wherever we are in our homes, in this country or further afield, we are here to praise God this morning because he is a good, good Father. And that is what our first song reminds us of. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, knowing that we can call you our Father, our Daddy, Abba. And it's because of that unique relationship you have with each and every one of us. Wherever we may be, whatever past we've had, whatever kind of situation we find ourselves in, whatever way we feel, whatever we wonder about the future, we come to you as your children, your sons and your daughters, coming to you, our Daddy, our Father, because you are indeed good. You are mighty, you are powerful, you are the Lord of Lords, you are the King of Kings, you are the Maker of heaven and earth, you are our sovereign God. You are all that we need. And so, Lord, we come before you in our humbleness, in our strength, in our weakness, in our frailties, in our excitement and our joy. We come before you, our Father, knowing that you love us, knowing that you hold us close in your loving arms. And for that, we thank you. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 27, and it's going to be read to us this morning by Yemi. So Yemi, thank you for reading Psalm 27 to us today.
Hi everyone. Our Bible reading for this service is taken from the book of Psalm 27. I'm reading from the book of Psalm, chapter 27, from verse 1 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such has breathed out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Amen.
And as that picture keeps reminding us, that camera picture, it is communion this morning. But the words from Psalm 27 says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Thank you, Yemi, for reminding us that we are here to sing and make music to the Lord. And we're going to continue as we do that, as we sing together, the words that remind us how blessed is his name. Wow, he is indeed worthy of our praise and our thanks. Over the last few weeks, we've been setting you a challenge week by week, and you have done wonders. And a couple of people this week have commented that we seem to be making the challenges a little harder. That's not our intention. Our intention is to enable all people with our different skills and abilities to join in and to share in this time together. And we're hoping to upload the videos that have already been done onto RBC Plus because they are so amazing. And we're hoping that those of you who can access RBC Plus will be able to enjoy them in the coming weeks as we upload them in the next day or two. But this week's challenge, I don't know how many of you have watched The Repair Shop, the program that's often on BBC One and is now, I think, going on to some of the other channels. But our challenge for you this week was to find a way to portray the theme of our new series of restoration. And I have to tell you, we have been absolutely blown away by the different ways, the creative ways, the imaginative ways that you have interpreted the theme. And each one of them is so valid. Each one of them brings a new dimension. And so, as we enjoy our video this week, well done to each of you. And for those of you who haven't joined in, be amazed by how people have seen and interpreted this theme. As I said, how amazing were all those contributions. And I hope that they made you stop and think. I hope they made you smile at times. I hope we realize that actually in all those ways and in all our lives, God can do amazing things. Our challenge for next week is to kind of think of Bible verses or various reasons that we can give thanks for. Because sometimes when we're finding things difficult, we need to be reminded that there's so much we can still give thanks for. And as you can see on the notice sheet this week, all contributions to be sent through on the various contact details by Wednesday evening in order to turn that into a video. Other notices on the notice sheet this week. Evening worship tonight on the same link as you're using is at 6 o'clock this evening. And can I just remind you, if your video is just what you're watching at the moment is just lagging a little bit, just slightly out of sync with one another, just refresh your page and it should sort itself out. It's a problem at your end with the broadband, probably that your speed that you've got coming into your home. For those of our youngsters, don't forget you've got a huge range of activities available for you. There's the Kingdom Kids TV, there's the youth stream at lunchtime, and the student stream later on this evening at 6:30. And I gather last week's quiz night was really enjoyed by all those who participated, which is at Wednesday this week at 6 o'clock. So don't forget that is continuing this week. All the details are on your notice sheet. And don't forget, each week, each Zoom meeting has a different password or link, so do make sure you use the one on this week's notice sheet. And if you don't get a notice sheet, make sure you email in and we can send it out to you. For other meetings this week, we've got the Tuesday prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Zoom, and Journey is continuing at 8:15 for the 18 to 30s life group. On Wednesday morning, we just gather together for a chat in the virtual meeting place over Zoom, and we're continuing our prayer course on Wednesday evening at 7:45. One thing to notice at the bottom of that particular section is that Grapevine will be produced primarily in an electronic form for this next edition. So please do send in all items, poems, verses, photographs, whatever they may be, so that they can put that together by the 10th of May. Food Bank continues to be busy. The requirements are on the notice sheet. And there's also the lockdown parenting course that's on the 10th of May. Details again on your notice sheet. And don't forget the RBC helpline, open from 9:30 till 1, Monday to Friday. And that's a time, if you want to drop things down to the church, that there's somebody here will be available to open and collect and be here for taking receipt of anything for the food bank. We continue to be grateful for all those people who are continuing to give online or via the webpage. We are grateful to everyone who is ensuring that the work of God continues, not just here, but in and around our world. If you aren't able to do that, do continue to keep your offerings in an envelope or in a jar or something ready for when we are able to rejoin, and we can put them in a physical way into the collection bags once we're back at church. But for now, let us give thanks for those who have already given and the gifts that have already gone into the bank. Father God, we thank you that we can continue to give in these new ways and continue to hold on to our offering and bring it at a time in the future. But Lord, we know that this offering is not about us. It's about what you want to do through this that we can give. We thank you for all those who are offering time and their abilities and their gifts to help others. But Lord, for the gifts of money, we thank you and we pray that you will indeed use them, both here in this town, in our country, and further afield. Bless this gift, these gifts, we pray. Amen. We're going to have our next reading that is taken from Jeremiah 29, and it's going to be followed by the wonderful song, Oceans. Thank you, Jan and Neil.
Good morning, church. Our reading this morning is Jeremiah chapter 29, reading from verse 1 to the end. It's entitled, A Letter to the Exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasar, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they may too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
You may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, but this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in the city, your countrymen who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like poor figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach, among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles, who I am sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, son of Messiah, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your very eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. The Lord treat you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the Lord, the king of Babylon, burned in the fire, for they have done outrageous things in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and in my name have spoken lies, which I did not tell them to do. I know it, and I am witness to it, declares the Lord. Tell Shemaiah the Nehelamite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You sent letters in your own name to all the people in Jerusalem, to Zephaniah, son of Messiah, the priest, and to all the other priests. You said to Zephaniah, the Lord has appointed you priests in the place of Jehoiada to be in charge of the house of the Lord. You should put any madman who acts like a prophet into stocks and neck irons. So why have you not reprimanded Jeremiah from Anathoth, who poses as a prophet among you? He has sent this message to us in Babylon. It will be a long time. Therefore, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Zephaniah the priest, however, read the letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Send this message to all the exiles. This is what the Lord says about Shemaiah the Nehelamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, even though I did not send him, and has led you to believe a lie, this is what the Lord says. I will surely punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his descendants. He will have no one left among this people, nor will he see the good things I would do for my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against me.
And so we come to look at this passage from Jeremiah chapter 29 under the heading of Restoring Faith. Restoring Faith. This is the first in our series of restoration. And faith is an important thing, but to many at the moment, faith is something that we are struggling with. Faith is something that maybe is just on the edge of being lost. And as we look at this passage, I want to see what God was saying to the people here in this story. There are many things going around the media. Some of it's true, some of it's fake news, some of it sadly is just misguided. And I'm getting a number of people commenting on things that they think this is going to be the answer that very often turn out not to be. It was not long ago since the President of the United States rather foolishly said something like, well, we should try injecting disinfectant, that kills everything, and it will probably cure coronavirus. And sadly, many looking for hope did just that, not realizing that actually it was one of the most dangerous things they could do. And therefore, I will say very clearly, I am not condoning this way of curing coronavirus. Why did people do such a thing, though? Well, they are looking for anything that would bring hope. And often we're easily led to believe what we would like to hear, rather than relying on truth. And there are many things we would like to hear. We'd like to believe that all these things are not our fault, they're someone else's fault, and we would try and blame these things on them. Truth. Faith in God is about coming back to truth and focusing... Excuse me, coughing. Can I just say, when I cough, I'm not suffering from coronavirus. I get a lot of people very concerned about that and contact me and say, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. I'm just pushing my voice badly at the moment because I'm not speaking loudly during the week because I'm a very quiet person normally. So I apologise for that. 2 Timothy 4 says this. In verse 3, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And how true is that prophecy from 2 Timothy 4, that one day people will just not put up with what's true. They want to gather around them a number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. Are we guilty of that? Are we guilty of trying to focus in on what we want to hear rather than what is true? If you look at social media, if you look at the newspapers, they are full of stories that people want to believe are true. And yet, as people of faith, we are called to truth. And often truth is harder than the voice that those who want to give us a fairy tale to believe in. Faith in God. Let's come back to Jeremiah 29. And we have here a context of a people who have been exiled. Exiled away from their home to a place they do not want to be. They are now not able at the moment to live life in the way that they have been living it. They're away from their safety, from their culture. They're away from everything they long to be back to. And maybe that's where we feel we are at the moment, away from what we want to believe in, where we want to live, away from our familiarity, away from our friends and those sorts of things. To the people that Jeremiah is approaching here, to those who have been sent from Jerusalem, to the exiles, Jeremiah says some fairly hard things to the people desperate to get back. God says, firstly, settle. Settle to the new norm of where you are. We all hope and pray that this way of doing church will not go on forever. We don't know how long it will go on for. I would imagine it's going to go on for some time yet. And to the people from Jerusalem, to the Israelites, there is that sense of, oh, how long are we stuck in Babylon of all places? How long are we stuck in this place? And God says, settle. Verse 5, build homes and settle down. They're going nowhere very quickly. It's not where they want to be, but build homes and settle down. And as it goes on, it talks about living as if you're going to stay around here. Verse 6, marry and have sons and daughters. Verse 7, and also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you in exile. So live as if you're going to stay and create community and seek the well-being of that new place. When the new normal starts to come back, we're going to be sitting there thinking, oh, think about the good old days. I wish we were back there. I wish everything was just as we had it back in January and February. We don't like this change we're forced to have. But using this passage from Jeremiah, recognizing God is in control, I believe God will be saying to us again, seek the well-being of that new way of living. Seek to invest in it, to belong to it, to make the best of it. It's not the ideal, and we long for a day when normality and whatever it was returns. But let's seek to trust God and belong to where we are. As this reading that Jan and Neil read to us goes on, we're also called to be careful to the voices we listen to. Verses 8 and 9. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you, deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Let me say, just because somebody sends something and tells you something that they claim is a prophetic word, it does not necessarily mean it is. Just because they say it in God's name or in Jesus' name, it does not necessarily mean it is true. Again, often we want to believe those things that we want to believe. But prefixing, thus says the Lord, or Jesus says, does not make it right. How many false prophets inhabited Babylon that they were being listened to? And how many false prophets inhabit this land, the TVs, or our minds? So much loss of faith is because of spiritual abuse, in person or remotely, or because we have held on to something that never came from God in the first place. And so, as we listen to voices, we need to weigh them carefully. And as we portray and speak on and amplify a voice, we need to go carefully. There's that very helpful acronym about speaking, using the letters of the word think, T-H-I-N-K. The T is it true? Before we say something, amplify, repeat something we've heard, we've got to ask the question, is it true? We might like it to be true, but the question, is it true? The H, is it helpful? The I, is it inspiring? The N, is it necessary? The K, is it kind? True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind. And we need to test what is said to us. We need to test what is read to us, what we read. We need to test what we watch. We need to test what we see on social media. And we need to ask these sorts of questions of it before we start to repeat it and put our faith in it. Firstly, is it consistent with God's character? A word from God will always be consistent with the character of God. The second, is it true? Thirdly, does it contradict Scripture? Fourthly, does it come to pass? And fifthly, is it part of God's meta-narrative, the bigger story of what God is about? The receivers of Jeremiah's prophecy here were fed up people, people who have lost faith. They were disillusioned, they were hurt, and into that place people were speaking all kinds of false words. As we restore faith, we will need to restore faith by putting Scripture and the words of Scripture and trusting those far more than we do that of the media and the world around us. Jeremiah continues this prophecy in these words in verse 10. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. This is a long-term promise. A God is saying, 70 years. And for the people here, the Israelites in Babylon, that was a long time. And of course, when you hear something like, well, you're going to be stuck there for 70 years, you try everything to make that happen quicker, to bring around a solution quicker than maybe you want it to be. Oh, aren't we impatient people? Think of the child before their birthday or before Christmas. Can't wait for Christmas to come, or can't wait for their birthday to come, or can't wait for that holiday. And they're doing everything to try and make it come quicker and quicker and quicker. But we all know there's 24 hours a day, and it will take 24 hours for the next day to come, 7 days for the next week to come. And whatever we do, and whatever the Israelites are going to do, God has set out the framework, and God will be faithful to that framework. And where we are, maybe we are trying to rush and make everything happen by believing what we want to believe, but we need to recognize that alongside the now and our aspirations to bring back the new normality, and our faith that says it's going to be, let's remind ourselves of the long-term promises to God and look to the horizon. God has given us many long-term promises. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always. God has made the promise that he will restore us, he will heal us, and he will bring us into his eternal presence. At this time of struggle of faith, let's remind ourselves of those long-term promises of God that he never fails to keep. And let's hold on to those. I used to do more than I do now of mountain climbing, partly because there's not many mountains around Essex. But when you're climbing a proper mountain, there's often those moments of disillusionment. You see the peak and you climb to that peak to realize it's actually only a foothill of the next peak and the next peak. And you get disillusioned. You think, I'm going to make it, I'm going to get there. And then you get there and you think, oh no, there's another one beyond. Yet when you get to the final peak, the top, wow. Wow. If you've managed to do it in good weather, what a view. But even if you have managed to do it in bad weather, there's that sense of, I made it. I got there. What are God's good promises? that we're going to hold on to and we're going to go and we're going to take, recognizing that they will come to fulfillment. They will come to fulfillment. Then we come to verse 11. This verse is known by us all. And it says these words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Focus in on that verse for a moment. Even in this time when we are in a world we don't want to be, God has plans for his people. He's got plans for you. He's got plans for me. He's got plans for his church. And what does it say about those plans? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future. God has plans, and they are very good. And they are plans that are going to be worked out in God's time. Yes, there are temporary hiccups, but God is still in control. As we restore our faith in God, let us come back to what God has said clearly to his people time and time again. Trust me. Seek me. Believe in me. Put your faith in me. And this passage in Jeremiah continues like this. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and the places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You're having a crisis of faith. Well, I think in these verses are part of the answer. Seek God with all our hearts and be found by God. And put our trust in God. And God will restore us. There's so much more that could be said about this passage. And we read the whole chapter because there is a sense in that second half of that chapter that Neil read. God will deal with the false prophets. God's justice will be done. And the more we get angry, the less it actually affects us, or the more it affects us, and the more that we become disillusioned. Just trust God. Let go. Let go. Let God deal with the false prophets, but you put your faith in God. Let God do justice. Let's not seek revenge. But let us live in life with restored faith that puts our faith in God who has plans for us, a faith in God who wants us to come and seek him and pray to him, and he will listen, he will find us, and we will find him, and we will be restored. In a moment, we are going to celebrate communion together. A moment where we can re-establish our faith in God. In this bread and in this cup are symbols of our salvation, our forgiveness, our new life. Are you needing to be restored in your faith in Jesus? Well, come back. Come back to God. Seek him. And even in this simple bread and wine or wafer or whatever you can find in your home right now as we sing the next song. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to come back and have your faith restored, your trust in God restored. And so, as we sing our next song, which declares what we believe, get some bread or crackers or whatever you've got and something to drink. It can be red if that helps you, but it doesn't matter. It can even be water. And as a family or on your own, let's come around the communion table, virtually where we are, and restore our faith in Jesus. We sing that we believe in God the Father. And so welcome to this communion table. Where you are, Christ is present. And although we sit here in an empty church building, Christ is present where you are, and the Church of Jesus Christ is united around the one body, the one cross. Paul reminding the Corinthian church about the bread and the wine, and that last meal Jesus had with his disciples, said these words: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broke it, he gave thanks. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Rodney is going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Good morning, RBC. It's Rodney from Lockdown Horn Church, and I'm bringing our prayers of thanksgiving for our communion service this morning. I trust that you're all keeping well and staying safe. We're thinking in particular of everything that we're grateful for God for, and in particular for these in front of us, the bread and the wine, as we remember with gratitude everything that the Lord did for us on that cross. We remember that with thanksgiving that he paid the price once and for all, that he paid the price and conquered evil on that cross, so that everything could be reversed and that evil would be turned so that we could all live. And as I move these letters around, you will see that by swapping these letters around, you get exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ gave for each one of us, that we can all live because he died for each one of us. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as we look at this communion and as we share together. Although we are separated, we are one body and we share in the one bread and the wine together. We're thankful that you are the Omega and the Alpha, that you died for each one of us, and that you will come again, and that you will conquer sin, and that you will be our salvation. And Lord, as we think before us, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the lovely weather, for the bird song, and in the quietness, we thank you that you are Lord of the heavens, of the moon, of the stars. And in the quietness now, we just reflect on everything that we should be thankful for. And in our minds, we actually write a thank you note to God for all that he did in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we are truly thankful. We're thankful that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the beginning and end, and everything is in your hands. We thank you that nothing is impossible for you. We thank you that despite the situation we're going through in this coronavirus, that you are here with us, that you are here and that you died for each one of us, that you are our certain hope. And we thank you that in the bread we are reminded of your broken body, and in the wine we're reminded of your shed blood. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to die on a cross for us. And Lord, during this time of lockdown and coronavirus, we pray that this hope will be a global hope, shared, although we're separated, amongst all those at home, living with no hope. So thank you, Lord. And as we celebrate this simple act of communion together, let us be one body, one mind. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Rodney, for that. And we have the symbols. And Jesus took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Let's eat the bread with thanksgiving. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood." In the words of that old Easter hymn, that there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Let us drink and be thankful. We thank you, Lord, for feeding us with these symbols of hope, these symbols of restoration. Restore us to yourself, Lord. Restore our hope. And may we re-put our lives in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Addie's now going to lead us in a prayer of intercession.
Prayer of intercession. Almighty Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving us to come as a family to have communion today. And Father, we bless you for the privilege that we can come together as a family, to come together, to fellowship and to have fellowship with one another. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving us the opportunity to see another month, the month of May. Father, we come to you this morning and we pray for our frontline staff who, during this period of crisis of coronavirus, we thank you for their wisdom, we thank you for your protection, we thank you for helping them, and Father, we pray for your protection over all our frontline staff, the doctors, the nurses, and all the professionals that work in the NHS, in the supermarket, on the farm, wherever. Father, we just lift them up before you now, that you protect them by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for our carers, and most especially our staff at Parkside, and families, and the residents in Parkside, that you protect them, you guide them, you direct them, and you will be their strength. Father, we pray for ourselves as a family. We lift up every member of the family at RBC, both in Romford and everywhere we have family, that you protect every member of our family. During this lockdown, you give us sound mind. You give us grace to love each other. You give us grace to be at peace with each other. We pray for our children, that you will strengthen them, that they will not get bored, that you will empower them. We pray for our youth, our young people, that you will strengthen, you empower, and you encourage them. Father, we also use this opportunity to pray for our ministers, our pastor, Pastor Vicky, Pastor Ian, and all the ministers. We lift them up before you now, that you will protect, you empower, and you sustain them during this period of lockdown. Finally, we pray for our government. We pray for the Prime Minister and all the people who are in charge to make decisions, that you give them wisdom to make the right decision at this period of time. And finally, also we pray for those who have lost loved ones during the period of this coronavirus, that you will strengthen them, you will console them, you will empower them. Almighty Father, we just surrender ourselves to you, and we just ask for your mercy. We just ask for your protection. And give all the glory, give all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
And so we come to our final song. Those great words, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Can you today renew your faith and say, this is my story, this is my song? Thank you so much for being with us here at Romford Baptist Church this morning. And let me remind you that we have another service at 6 o'clock this evening, and it'll be great for you to join us there. Can I thank you all for all the messages of encouragement and support we get? They are really, really encouraged. We particularly like to hear what you appreciate most about what the services we're doing. And if you have ideas, feel free to message those in. We can't promise to do every idea because we're still learning this game. But we're always happy to hear of ideas, but also keep sending the messages in. They're appreciated. A real big thanks again to Sam, who does all the technical side to make these services go out live. We appreciate him sitting up on the balcony all on his own, quietly making it all work. Thank you very much, Sam. Don't forget the challenge for next week, as Vicky set it out earlier and is on the notice sheet. We look forward to seeing those pictures or messages by Wednesday evening. Remember, if you've not got the ability to take a photo, still send in the words you'd like to say, and we will try and put those together as we did this week. Remember the offering, and the information about the offering will be up on the screen in just a moment. But thank you all very much for being here at Romford Baptist Church this morning. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.